Hey y'all, welcome to Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We are officially on episode 10, which is crazy, right, of our podcast this season. So before we get into any kind of matchups and discussion around what happened last weekend, Britt, we're officially midway through April, which is a good bulk of the season. What are your thoughts as a whole with where we are in the ACC?
First of all, I can't believe we're in April, midway through April. Mayhem is right around the corner. The season has flown by, but Alex, this is go time. This is everything that you've been working for has been for this moment, right? Like the freshmen, I don't think you can call them freshmen anymore. They've had a majority of the season. You were telling me earlier, all the kinks should be worked out by now. You should be playing your best softball right now, and that's where we are, and it's the second most exciting part of the season.
Second most. You already mentioned Mayhem. It's just absolutely phenomenal. But you got to throw June in there, too, because June is postseason time. Right. June is my birthday, so it's just a really good month. Remember, we got to celebrate in KC last year.
We did. We went to that fantastic restaurant.
Where didn't we go, I think, is more the question.
Via scooter.
Let's run it back. Oh my gosh, let's not even talk about it.
Okay, all right, we'll save that for later.
I think we can talk about it. Kelsey is probably still a little bit shaken from it, but no. Good stuff. So, but I agree. So midway through April right now, definitely approaching mayhem. So there's a lot of fun to be had. But let's talk about what went down in the ACC last weekend. So a couple of matchups that we had were UNC and Pittsburgh. UNC walked away with the series 2-1. Britt, any thoughts there on the UNC-Pitt matchup?
Yeah, if you're UNC and as a UNC alum, there you should have walked away with a sweep. I mean, Pitt, new head coach, rebuilding, and they dropped a game that they really shouldn't have. But that's, I think, is just kind of part of that rebuild and changing the culture and that kind of thing. But I know UNC is disappointed with that. Pitt should be ecstatic, but UNC did walk away with victory of the series.
Yeah, and agree. And that kind of leads us into even Georgia Tech and Louisville. Georgia Tech walked away with the series. Louisville did take one of the games. But in game one, Georgia Tech run ruled Louisville. Louisville came back and responded, securing game two. And game three, Mallory Black for Georgia Tech hit the walk-off hit. That was her 18th home run, and she had the walk-off in the ninth. So that was a really big one for Georgia Tech, but kind of similar suit, right? We were thinking with how Georgia Tech was doing early in the season that they were rocking and rolling. Maybe probably should have had the sweep, but let's also talk real quick about how hard it is to sweep a team with where the game is right now, beating a team three times in a row. Britt, what do you think there? Because you know just how hard it is.
Yeah, it's incredibly difficult, and the ACC is a strong conference, like top to bottom, and there's so much parity, and we haven't seen very many sweeps this season across ACC, but for Georgia Tech to run rule game one and then come back and lose game two and then game three, they scored three runs in the first inning and then didn't score again until the ninth. So I think Georgia Tech has been really strong at the beginning of the year, but now we're seeing this kind of roller coaster. Like midweek, they played Georgia State, and they were down 4-0 in the sixth inning and had to come back and score five runs in two innings. Good for them that they're doing it, but I'm sure Coach Morales is looking for some more consistency. But Mallory Black, my goodness, 18 home runs, Alex. She is having one hell of a season, and she's fun to watch, and they try to pitch around her, but they couldn't in extras, and she came up big. So Georgia Tech getting a big Louisville's been holding their own this year, so I think that was a big series win for them.
Well, and 2 weeks ago, we saw Louisville take a game from Florida State as well, which was a big one. And again, just kind of putting that pressure on teams, and especially getting it in game two, I think is so big, because then you go into game three and you're like, okay, this is the chess match right here. It's really your best versus their best. And so hats off to any teams right now that are getting that game two win. I mean, hey, game three, right? It's best to take a game at any point that you can throughout the weekend, but game two has really been a big one as of late. So speaking of sweeps and how hard it is, Virginia Tech, Boston College, Virginia Tech swept BC. Abby Dunning, though, was rolling in game three for Boston College. There was a couple of missed calls. Britt, I know you got to watch some of that game, and you just talked about the passion that was out there on the field.
Yeah, Dunning, man. We talk about her probably every week, right? We love her. At least I do.
Brittany loves Dunning.
I do. I love her competitiveness, her talent. I mean, she's got a screwball in the 70s, and she's not afraid to throw it in on the hands of the righties. And Virginia Tech, their righties were all the way off the plate. Their lefties were on top of the plate, trying to force her to throw something else. And they did, but that third game, she was rolling. I think they were up 4-1 going into the fifth inning. And then the umpire legitimately started squeezing her. And that was frustrating. Got a runner on. And then a hitter came up, and it should have been strike three, check swing. She clearly went. Umpire appeals to first base. Says, no, she doesn't go. Dunning, after a couple missed strike calls, jumps in the air, throws her glove on the ground. Coach comes running out of the dugout. I mean, it was just like this frustration. Like, we are so close to beating a top 25 team, and you're going to screw us right now. And I think those emotions really got to them, because after that, it was just teeing downhill. Off. I mean, they were just teeing off, and they went on to run roll in that inning. It was tough to see. But talk about trying to control your emotions in a game that you're not supposed to win, but you're so close to upsetting somebody.
It's hard. It hurts. I think it hurts so bad. And it's like, what do they say? Like, it's so close, I can taste it. And it's just right, like that victory is like right there. And you're just like, what are you doing? Like, let me just do my thing, right? And call it what it is. Be definitive. Call the play.
Were you one to argue with umpires?
Yeah, I would. But I would not like make a scene. But I would definitely talk to them. I would definitely tell them when I disagreed. And I would tell them why. Like, I really would. You know, I would try to stay respectful. But I would just be like, man, you missed that. Or like, where is that pitch? Because like, I think this. And I was always very stern with like, I was very confident in how I approached it. And that way, like, it made them question like, oh, did I miss it? Now, whether or not they did, I don't know. That would be for them to say. But I think that there's a way to handle those things. And hey, sometimes your passion just comes out there, and it doesn't really matter how you show it because it's so much heart. So, but while on the topic of sweeps, Notre Dame, Florida State swept the Fighting Irish. That was a big one for Florida State. They've been rocking and rolling as of late. But Michaela Edenfield, that's a tough loss right now, down one of your best hitters, for sure. One of your leaders out there defensively, somebody that takes a lot of control and command behind the dish, gets injured in a moment of frustration and comes out with a statement, breaks her finger, has surgery. What does that look like for Florida State? I don't think anybody knows right now.
And this weekend was a litmus test to see like how's this going to work without Michaela Edenfield, who we've talked in the past, to me, that she's always been clutch. Like, she's always come up in the big moment, but her consistency hasn't always really been there, right? Like, up and down, a lot of strikeouts, but a lot of home runs. But this year, Alex, you've seen it firsthand. She has just been rolling. Like, batting average is astronomical. Home runs are great. I think having the best season of her career, and then, you know, talk about a moment of emotion getting the best of you and leading to injury. I was a very emotional player. Not necessarily you could see it so much on the field, but I probably shouldn't say this, but I've punched a dugout or two. Like, and I've just been lucky that I didn't get hurt. And I hate it for, because I can empathize and understand that you just want it so much, and you realize that you're just that big of a part of your team that you let them down, whatnot. But props to Michaela for owning it. Like, very easily could they have just – she could have just been like, yeah, I got hurt. But she's like, no, look, learn from me. Because I don't know if you remember a couple of years ago, a top seeded team was going to the World Series, and their pitcher didn't get to go to the World Series because of a broken hand that I believe the emotions got the best of her. So if you're a young player right now and you're listening, learn. It's hard. But what do you think, besides like, on the field kind of things, young pitching staff, no experience behind the plate, coming in with Maddie Frye, who was back there. What are they going to have to do?
Yeah, somebody's got to step up, right? It's all about that confidence out there to go in the circle and say, I want the ball. No matter what the situation is, no matter how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, I want the ball. It's that kind of confidence. It's that kind of leadership, I think, that Florida State needs the most. And if they can have somebody that is just going to wear it and take it, I think that that could help lead the Noles through the next couple of weeks, because I think that everybody's been like testing the waters. We've heard that a lot across the country with teams that we've covered, Britt, throughout the weekends. And it's like the coaches are just like, I want my players to just jump in and say, hey, I trust you. Whether the water's cold, whether the water's hot, like, I don't know, but whatever it is, I'm all in. And I think that that's what Florida State has lacked throughout the first part of the season. It is for somebody to say, I want it to be me, and it's going to be me. Win or lose, you know, it doesn't matter how I do, but like, I'm going to show up and I put the work in. And
who's that person for you? Who's that person? You know this team better than anybody, and they were playing in the national championship last year. I mean, you've got Devin and Kaylee, and who do you want that person to be?
Who do I want it to be? I want it to be McKenna Reed. I would also say Allison Royalty could do it too. Obviously, she's struggling a little bit too with some injury and some nagging things that she's trying to take care of. But McKenna Reed, and I think the problem though is right now it's like, she knows she's good. She had some, you know, good success last year, but then it's kind of like went into this season. People started to hit her a little bit more like, oh, maybe my stuff isn't as good. Like, I think she kind of had that doubt because she's young. And instead of just being like, no, like my shit's still good. Like, I'm still rocking and rolling, and it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if somebody can hit me, because there are really good hitters across the country. I don't have to strike everybody out, but I want it to be McKenna Reed. I don't know if it is yet. And I think that it could be. And I think that if it's not now, maybe it will be soon. So,
yeah. Well, I think that's a good one to pick, because if they need her now more than ever.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's word. So again, while on the topic of sweeps, this one was, I want to say, the most surprising to me of the weekend. I just think it was the biggest. If hugest was a word, I would say it was the hugest, but it's not. It's an Alexism. I think it'll be a word for right now. So Clemson, Duke swept Clemson, huge. No Valerie Cagle
again. And she, concussion protocol is what they're saying. After the Syracuse series, she wasn't available against their midweek against South Carolina. They beat South Carolina. They look good too against South Carolina after they lost South Carolina earlier this year, came back and got some revenge at their place. But this weekend, I think for both teams, is like, people have been talking about Duke's strength of schedule. Like, they haven't really played much. So could they go in to McWhorter and get a couple wins? And they went in and swept. They beat a slugfest, I think 13-9, then won a one-run game. And then that last game was tight to the last inning. But I think this was a big test for both teams. And boy, could Clemson use a Valerie Cagle this series.
Valerie Cagle, if you're listening, are you okay? We hope you're okay.
We do.
We hope you are okay, because it is tough just in general, like, as fans of the sport, like, crushed it, right? Crushed it throughout her career. And then senior season, we just want to see her finish what she started. And I think that's the hardest part right now. So,
yeah, and they've got some people stepping up too. Like, Reagan Spencer has been the number three her whole entire career, is now the number one. And Millie Thompson's always going to step in and do her thing. And then they had injuries with Maddie Moore with her finger, but she's back. And then Julia Noller, the big freshman, had an injury, but she's back. I think they're still trying to work through some injuries. I think Clemson is still a good team, but, you know, they went toe-to-toe with Duke, but they're missing some pieces, and they haven't been healthy this season.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. So pivoting back to split series, NC State and Virginia. Virginia walked away with the series win, so a tight series overall. UVA won the first game 2-0, and then NC State came back game two, won it 10-9, and then UVA clinched game three in a 3-2 victory. I think that there's some really big stuff from that. Eden Bigham was really good in the circle, which has been a very common theme with what she's done all season long for the Cavaliers. But anything on that? I feel like NC State is so close.
Yeah, they've got to be frustrated, right? They've been like one run away multiple times from winning a series. This is no different for them. And they're going through this whole rebuild process with a new head coach, and they're currently last in the ACC. But you don't get that feeling that they're last in the ACC based on how they're playing, right? but they lost a series. They took one, but UVA is fifth in the ACC, which I think is kind of would catch some people off guard. Like, there were some high expectations for them last year and they fell short, and they're top, I think, like 32 in RPI. Like, UVA is having like this quietly successful season. And so I think we need to give them a little bit more attention. They went into NC State and took the series, and the NC State, that team that's been playing really well. But you mentioned Eden Bingham. She's been the heart and soul of this team, her and Jade Hilton. And literally the two of them are carrying this team. And
yeah,
they went in and got the job done.
Hey, yeah, it's really good. I do think that you're spot on, Britt, with the Virginia comment about more than NC State losing or anything like that. The surprising piece is UVA and how well they've done. Because, I mean, in my opinion, they weren't sitting five coming into the ACC this season, right? Conference play. Like, they've continued to climb the ladder, and that is definitely because of some really good arms in the circle with both Bingham and Hilton, like you said. So, to wrap up some midweek conversations, Georgia Tech scores 5 unanswered in the 6th and 7th to beat Georgia State. That was a close one. I think a little too close for comfort with the in-state rivalry there with Georgia State at Georgia Tech. Very much so. And then Virginia Tech beats UVA 6-0. So let's go to a couple of big highlights of the week. ACC players of the week, and not just some ACC talk, but some national talk too. First, Eden Bingham in the circle for Virginia was the pitcher of the week. So we just said that Virginia secured 2 wins versus NC State. Both in the circle was Bingham for both of those wins. She was 2-0 on the weekend. She got a complete game shutout against NC State in game 1 and then pitched the Cavaliers to the 3-2 victory in game 3. She posted an even 1 ERA. Anything else about Bingham that we didn't already touch? She's really good.
Yeah, she's really good. And
she's really good.
To have 2 games against the same team with success, I mean, they're getting 5-6 at-bats off of you. You're like, you're doing something right in the circle. And, you know, you take Eden Bingham out of that team, a lot of trouble, right? So she's like the cornerstone, and she's continuing to get better every year. So props to her. I'm glad the ACC gave her some recognition because of what she's been doing in ACC play, because out of conference, Virginia was struggling, but now they're making some noise.
They're making some noise. And I feel like that's a really good description of how Virginia feels when she's not in the circle. When Eden Bingham is not in the circle, it's just,
second game when she didn't pitch, it was 9-10, right?
Like, yeah, those ones are tough sometimes. We've all been there. But yeah. Cameron Fagan, player of the week for Virginia Tech for the Hokies. Fagan was hit over 600 in the weekend. She had 6 hits, 7 RBI in their series win against Boston College. She had the 2 RBI single to put the Hokies on top in game 3, which was in the 5th inning. And then, like you already talked about, Britt, it kind of catapulted from there for Virginia Tech. But anything on Fagan? She's a senior leader for the Hokies and has kind of led the way, almost like behind the scenes for the last couple of years.
Yeah, she kind of gets overshadowed by Emma Ritter and Bree Peck and all these big power hitters, Corey McMillan, and I mean, Michelle Chatfield, the freshman, and Kim Fagan's just been doing her thing, all along, just consistent, putting up big numbers. She's surrounded by big numbers, but you know, she's been doing her thing. That offense for Virginia Tech is something else.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. They've been potent for a long time, so much power in those bats. But here was the big storyline, I feel like, for us, was some National Player of the Week honors. Not just ACC, National Player of the Week, baby. So Claire Davidson, so good right now in the box for Duke. She was 5-for-10 and 2 home runs, 10 doubles. She's hitting right now as a whole on the season 455, 14 doubles, 15 home runs, and 56 RBI for one of the best teams in the country.
Her production this year is just mind-boggling. I mean, I'm sure you had 10 RBIs in 3 games, but I think that number is just incredible against a great Clemson team. I mean, it's not like she's just doing this against anybody. And the crazy thing is Alex, we've seen the past 3 years, she's been pitching. Like, she's had like at least 40 innings in the circle her freshman, sophomore, junior year. This year, no, she's just hitting. And that's probably the best decision they could have made for her career. And I think I'm throwing her name out there for National Player of the Year at the end of the year. Oh, I'm telling you what, mm-hmm. like, she's just from the left side. I love a lefty hitter, Alex. That's why we work so well together. She's good. She's so freaking yeah. good. It's just, you can't get anything by her. And I love watching her play. So I'm glad she got the national recognition that she deserves. But yeah. Alex, not taking anything away from Cam Fagan.
Yeah, agree.
This happens all the time in yeah. all the conferences. You'll have a national player of the week, but then their conference doesn't vote them conference player of the week. It drives me freaking nuts.
It is a little ass backwards. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just calling it what it is. It's a little ass backwards, but hey, the more the yeah. merrier. Right. ACC's crushing it. But I feel like we should just throw out the plug right now that not only that, but definitely Claire Davidson is looking to be probably in the runner up, if not the person for ACC Player of the Year as well.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Let's just throw that out there. But hey, what do we know? What do we know? So a couple of significant storylines, and we've already touched on them, but any last thought, Britt, on FSU without Edenfield in the lineup? Also briefly mentioned Royalty not necessarily being in the lineup due to some nagging injuries and things. And then, of course, Edenfield's injury with the surgery that she just had.
Well, I think minus the offensive production that Edenfield brings is that they have a very young pitching staff. Ashton Danley is a freshman, McKenna Reed, a sophomore, and you had that veteran behind the plate, and now Maddie Fry filled in this weekend, and then Allison Royalty is out in the pitching staff, and she's a senior, like very young now in that bullpen and that battery. So I think that's going to play a big part, but Maddie Fry had some nice hits this weekend. I was impressed. She had a really nice RBI double, so she stepped up. She's trying to make the most of her opportunity. And I think just managing that battery with youth and inexperience come postseason or getting close to postseason is going to be something to watch for.
Agree. And then any last thoughts on Clemson with no Cagle?
I mean, you have the reigning USA Softball Player of the Year on the bench. Number one, I hope she's healthy. I hope she's taking care of herself. Don't rush back. Don't do anything like that, right? But just as a fan of the game and as a fan of Valerie Cagle, I hope that she's back sooner than later because, you know, that talent that she has and how good she is in the circle and in the box, you know, she's just such a key player for them. And you can see that they're missing her big time because, you know, lost a couple close games and you're just like, what if just got to move forward. She didn't play tonight against Winthrop again, so maybe we'll see her this weekend when they take on Notre Dame, which will be another challenging series for them.
Crazy. I just have one question. What is going on in Clemson, South Carolina? So the ACC race is tight right now, sitting in the top four spots. You've got Duke, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Clemson-ish, right? That's kind of what mm-hmm. we're thinking right now. From there, Duke is sitting 16-2 in ACC play. The couple of series that they have left to play are Virginia and NC State. Florida State's 12-3 in conference play. The series that they have left are Boston College. UNC will be a good one. Britt, we'll definitely have to kind of, even if it's just virtually yeah. watching that one together. And then Syracuse, Virginia Tech, 14-4 in conference. They have Georgia Tech and Syracuse left. And then Clemson, 11-7 in conference play. They have Notre Dame and Louisville left. And then you have in 5-10, respectively, you have Virginia, Georgia Tech, UNC coming in at 7, Notre Dame, Boston College at 9, and Louisville at 10. So, RPI, a couple of teams sitting pretty in RPI right now. You've got Duke coming in the top 5, securing that number 5 spot. Florida State is at 13, Clemson is at 20, Virginia Tech at 23, and Virginia, like you mentioned earlier, you were spot on. They're 32. Any thoughts on RPI right now?
Yeah, you know, with the selection committee, RPI is not the only thing they look at when they're seeding teams, right? But it's a big piece just based on what we've seen in the past. They really lean on RPI. So for Duke, they want that top eight seed so they can host regionals and super regionals. And the higher they get, the better for them, right? You don't want to – you an eight seed's great. They were that last year. Then they had to play Stanford and Nyjah Kennedy at their home field. Like, they were, that was hard. That was hard. So the higher they can be, the better. Five seed, pretty good. I think in most polls, Alex, correct me, I think they're around three right now after losing to Campbell midweek, which we won't talk about too much, or never again. But, you know, I think the high, they need to win out. And on paper, you read out the schedules for Duke, Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Clemson. On paper, they should win out those series. And I think it's going to be important for them to do that. Florida State, 13. You know, we were talking early in the season. They may, like, are they even going to host?
Yeah, we don't know.
Like, you said it. They're playing so well right now that they're putting themselves in a situation that they may host. And I think they might if they went out. Clemson, 20 seed, or 20 in RPI. They've got to win out. I mean, that's kind of the story with all of them. Virginia Tech. Yeah. I can't believe that they may not host just because of how good they are. But
that might be better for them because we've seen them host a couple of times and they kept getting upset. And so maybe it'll be better. Maybe it's the juju in Blacksburg out there. Like, maybe they need to go somewhere else. I don't know.
Well, last year they got sent to Georgia and it was like home run team, 100 home runs versus 100 home runs. Like,
you covered that one, right?
Yeah, I was there. It was just like Bomb City. But... You know, they still can make moves. 20, I mean, that's not out of the conversation of hosting at all. UVA, I think they're looking for not at large seed for, I would have to look, but it's been years if they don't win the ACC tournament to get an at large seed, but they're putting themselves in a good position.
Yeah. Well, good stuff. I really feel like the ACC just continues to be on the up and up. And Britt, I know you feel the same. You were just in Bristol this past weekend, getting to cover so much of what's going on and what's going well in the ACC, and nobody loves it. I feel like selfishly more than us. We just love softball, and we love to see the ACC continue to grow.
We started the ACC podcast, Alex. Nobody loves it more than us.
Nobody loves it more. I don't know if we love it or if we're crazy or both. So.
Probably both.
Both. Sure. Definitely both. But awesome, really good stuff. So next week we are going to get into some more topics, going to give you some more rundowns and updates of everything going on. But for now, thank you guys so much for joining us on episode 10 of Up the Coast with Alex and Britt. We will see y'all soon. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, girl.